VashaniRadio.com is global. You can listen on any computer or mobile device that connects to the internet. Simply go to VashaniRadio.com and click on the show you would like to hear. Then sit back and enjoy yourself with powerful and positive talk radio. VashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.
Coming up next, Pastoral Insights with Vincent T. Edwards, right here on VashaniRadio.com, New York City, always talking about everything.
This is Pastoral Insights, and I'm Elder Vincent T. Edwards, your host and pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee. Visit us on the website at www.trueholinesscogic.org. That's trueholinesscogic.org, and you can find out more about me at vincenttedwards.com. That's vincenttedwards.com. Want to welcome everyone to Pastoral Insights, where my guest today is Freddie Davis, and we're going to be talking about world views. That's right, world views today on Pastoral Insights. Dr. Freddie Davis is the president of Market Faith Ministries. In the course of his life, he has been involved in a wide variety of ministry activities. He's been a pastor, church planner, author, and seminar speaker. Freddie received his bachelor's in communications from Florida State University, as well as a master's of divinity and a doctorate of ministry from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. In addition to his years of pastoral ministry in the U.S., Freddie also spent over 16 years overseas, serving as an international missionary, 11 years in Japan, and 5 years in the former Soviet Republic of Latvia? Wow, Latvia, you've been traveling around.
Yeah, that's true.
As president of Market Faith Ministries, Freddie is available to speak to churches and other Christian organizations on the topics of worldview and its implications for the Christian life and witness. He lives in Tallahassee, Florida with his wife, Deborah. Dr. Davis, welcome to Pastoral Insights.
Well, it is certainly my pleasure to be with you today.
Oh, good to have you. What is Market Faith Ministries?
Market Faith Ministries is essentially a discipleship ministry. It's a worldview discipleship ministry, and I focus on the topic of worldview. There's actually, if you want to hear the story, I can kind of tell you why I started that. As you mentioned a moment ago, my wife and I were missionaries overseas for really almost 17 years. And the work of a missionary essentially is to go to a different place than where you are and communicate the gospel. Well, for international missionaries, for the most part, the places that you go are going to be places that actually have a different worldview foundation than what we have here in the States. And certainly that was true in Japan. In Japan, the primary belief systems there are Buddhism and Japanese Shinto, and those represent two different worldviews. One of them, a Far Eastern thought, and we'll talk about these later, but another one, animism. And then when we went to Latvia, the primary belief system based on what had been going on in the Soviet Union for years and years was essentially naturalism. It's essentially atheistic. Of course, Latvia itself does have, you know, a Christian history, but for like 70 years during the Soviet era, the primary beliefs foundation of the Soviet Union was atheism. And so we have to learn how to communicate the Christian gospel, which is theistic, across those worldview barriers so that in a way that people can understand not just the words that we're saying, but the meaning of the words. You know, for instance, when we were in Latvia, when you're dealing with somebody that's an atheist, you know, we believe that God exists and we talk as if he exists. Well, atheists believe that God does not exist and they live and think and talk as if he does not exist. And so you have to be able to communicate across that kind of barrier. So it's not just a cultural and a language thing. It's really an understanding of reality, and that's what you know worldview is all about. Well, when we came back to the States, one of the things after having been gone that long that we had to do was to get our heads back in American culture.
Okay, being away from home for so long,
and we were gone from the late mid '80s to the late '90s were the years that we were overseas, and during that period of time, an awful lot of change took place in American society. I mean, on a worldview level, and so, you know, my growing up years, America was, I would say, pretty much totally dominated by Christian theism as far as the society in general. Obviously, there are many people that had other beliefs. But as far as society in general, I mean, when I was growing up, schools didn't have, you know, get football games and programs on Wednesday night because that was church night. You know,
okay.
I mean, that's just kind of the atmosphere, the society that I grew up in. And so obviously things changed even before we left overseas. But I'd say the biggest changes in the society as a whole probably happened during those years that we were gone. And so when we came back to the States, it was really kind of a shock to me to figure out how much American society had changed. And I basically used my missionary background to analyze it, and you know, based on worldview concepts. And it didn't take me very long to figure out what had gone on, that really the naturalistic worldview had come to dominate virtually every institution of American society. And it's only gotten stronger even since we've been back. But when we got back, one of the things that I had the opportunity to do was speak in different churches and meet a lot of different Christians from different places. And almost without exception, as I was talking to people, there was an awful lot of confusion. And the confusion was that everybody realized that things were changing and things were different, but really didn't know how to grasp the significance of it or exactly what was happening.
Could they really figure out what was actually going on?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you can see the outward manifestations of it, but
right.
As far as understanding
what causes, you saw the symptoms.
Exactly. And so, I mean, for me, it was just, you know, instant almost recognizing what it was. But the only way that you can really understand it is to understand the worldview implications of it, not just look at the expressions of it that are, you know, out in society. And so I recognized that an understanding of worldview was kind of the need for Christians. And so I began just doing some writing, and I started a website that has now turned into our ministry website. It was started out just to be, you know, some resources.
Right. That's marketfaith.org.
That's right.
Okay.
And so I started doing some writing and started doing some teaching, and one thing led to another until this has kind of turned into a full-blown ministry now.
So this is what you do, Market Faith Ministry. And the topic of worldviews is based on your book that you use, I do believe, when teaching it, entitled Worldview Wars, An Introduction to Worldview for Biblical Christians. Let's talk a little bit about something else that you do before we dive into worldviews. We were talking about another organization dealing with the Capitol Commission.
Yes.
What is that all about?
Well, I do have another ministry that I work with. It's a national Christian ministry called Capitol Commission. And essentially, the ministers in Capitol Commission serve as a pastoral presence in state capitals. And I'm the Florida minister. But we have people in 24 states right now, and they're working on expanding that to others as well. But essentially, that's what it is. It's a pastoral-type ministry, and so I'll, particularly when the legislature's in session or the legislators are in town, I'll go and spend time up at the Capitol, and I'll pray for them and with them and hand out Bible studies and just any way that I can be a witness. And actually, the reason that I kind of wanted to get involved with that ministry is sort of an expression of my worldview ministry. I believe firmly that every Christian has been called by God to touch the lives of the people that that they interact with day in and day out.
Really? So it's not just left up to the pastor in the pulpit to preach the gospel on Sunday. So everyone is called to some extent to be a witness, correct?
Absolutely. And so this you know, has become for me an opportunity really to kind of practice what I preach, to reach into the lives of a group of people. And you know, one of the things that happens when you're in ministry is that you tend, particularly if your focus is on Christians, which a discipleship ministry like mine is, which, you know, happens when you're a pastor, is that almost all of your focus is on the people in your church or other Christians that are interested in your ministry. And so reaching out beyond that into the world of people that maybe don't know Christ is sometimes kind of difficult. And so this has become a way for me to keep my head in the game, so to speak. It allows me to reach out and touch lives that are outside of the quote Christian ministry, the Christian world.
Do you feel that a better understanding of worldviews helps evangelist and evangelism?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the way that I have kind of comprised the ministry that I do with Worldview, I've kind of divided it into four different areas, and so that it can really touch the complete area or the fullness of what we as Christians need to be involved with. The first part really is, you know, what is worldview and what are the worldview possibilities? And this is just kind of the basic background understanding. It's hard to go further if you don't understand what you're talking about. And so the book you just mentioned a moment ago, Worldview Wars, is my book that deals with that topic. But the second one has to do with the Christian worldview. And what I do with that one is I take, you know, the basic worldview principles and I apply it to our faith. You know, how do you understand our Christian faith in relationship to worldview concepts? And the third area that it applies has to do with how you take your worldview and live it out in your own Christian walk, in your own daily life. And so it has to do with how a Christian worldview gets expressed in an individual's life, you know, Bible study, you know, or all the different ways of communicating that we communicate with God and He communicates with us. how we express our faith through our work, how we express our faith just in the different arenas that are our life. And so that's the third one. Then the fourth one has to do with our witness, because the worldview principles then were really the exact same concepts that we use to understand our own faith. We can understand other faiths as well. And I'm sure in just a little bit we'll get into, you know, how that all plays out. But so I've divided into those four areas, and I've actually got I've written a book on each one of those four areas. I've got other books as well, but those are kind of what I call my core four.
The core four.
and that deal with those fundamental basic areas that of the Christian of worldview and how it applies and affects our Christian walk day in and day out.
In your opinion and in your experience, why is it that most Christians fail to witness about the faith?
You know, that is a question that I have spent a lot of time on, because it's not something that I think comes maybe naturally to anybody in many respects. And I think probably one of the main problems with Christians being able to effectively share a witness just has to do with their knowledge of what to say.
Mm.
It's a very scary thing for people. I mean, you know.
So what it sounds like is, you know, they don't spend time studying.
Well, that's a big part of it. I mean, you know, the ones of us who have had the opportunity to go to seminary or Bible college or, you know, get special training, we have been able to devote a number of years maybe to studying the Bible and theology and things like that and understand what it is we need to say, but most people are not in that situation.
But was it so complicated in the days of Jesus in the book of Acts when the church was born? I mean, you look at the disciples, did they have all of that theological training and background? Based upon my knowledge, they just talked and preached Jesus.
That's true. But you can't share what you don't know. And sadly, I would say that the large majority of Christians simply don't have, that they've just not made the effort to have the kind of knowledge they need to be able to feel confident. I mean, anybody that knows Jesus Christ, I mean, you can tell what you know, you can tell how Christ came into your life, but I think one of the things, you know, and this kind of an extension of what we were just talking about, one of the fears that so many people have is the fear that somebody's going to ask them a question that they don't know how to answer. And a lot of the questions that people will ask, particularly in the day that we live in now, it's a very confrontational time. I mean, there's a lot of militant atheists and militant people, you know, of certain other religions that they will not even hesitate to attack, you know, Christians. One of the things that I end up doing somewhat frequently is having these kinds of conversations, usually either on Facebook or on YouTube or something like that. I'll post something or write something, and people that are particularly atheists, because they tend to be the most militant in our society, will start just attacking the fool out of me. And so I have to be able to respond to that. And because of my background, I don't have any fear of doing that. I don't have any problem doing that. But the average person doesn't have that kind of confidence, and somebody starts bringing up things about science and about this and that, you know.
From a biblical perspective, shouldn't we be ready at all times?
Yeah, absolutely. We should be ready at all times. And in fact, that's one of the main focus that I have with Market Faith Ministries is it's a discipleship ministry. I want to train believers in to be able to not only understand their own faith and other faiths, but to be able to have confidence that what we believe is the objectively real truth, and that our Christian faith is not something that we have to back up with. And so, but yeah, that's but I'd say that's probably, you know, some of the biggest problems is that there's just so many Christians that have so little knowledge that they have no confidence about sharing their faith.
You're listening to Pastoral Insights, and I'm Vincent T. Edwards, your host, and my guest today is Dr. Freddie Davis, and we're talking about worldviews and also his ministry, Market Faith. Whose responsibility, well, I guess, how can I phrase this? What role does the pastor of a particular congregation play in developing or discipling the members of the congregation to be able to effectively witness?
Well, you know, I have a firm belief that the church, the local church, should be at least the seminary of the average person. You know, I had an opportunity to attend a seminary, but because of my calling to be a pastor or a leader in the church. But I take my philosophy on this from Ephesians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul was talking about God has called apostles and teachers and pastors to into the ministry. But then he goes on to say in that same passage what the purpose of those leaders are, and the purpose is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So I see church leaders as being the equippers and the ones who are really supposed to make the impact out in the world are all the other Christians. And so I believe that that's one of the biggest and most important functions of pastors is to be those equippers.
I'm going to throw a tough question that came to mind. When you talked about they should be the equippers, based upon what I see, what's your view on them being more entertainers than equippers today when it comes to discipling?
Well, you know, that's I do not like to make generalizations because there are so many different, you know, ways that this kind of plays out in churches. One of the things that I try to be very careful to recognize is that even among pastors, you have a whole variety of gifting. There are some pastors who their gift is preaching. You have some pastors that their real primary gift is evangelism. You have some pastors whose primary gift is administration. You have some pastors whose primary gifting is in teaching. And so you have this variety of different giftings that that different pastors have. But as a pastor, no matter what our particular gifting is, we have a job of pastoring a church.
Correct.
And it involves all of those things. But when it comes to the actual work that a pastor does, if we want to be truly effective in the ministry that we do, then we have to be able to do all of the things that need to be done in a particular church. If it's a small church, then the pastor may have to do everything.
Amen.
but if it's a large church, may have staff, you know, and you may have, you know, one staff member that's focused more on administration and another one that's focused more on education and, you know, different kinds of things. And so it's really hard to make a complete generalization that way. That being said, even if there, for instance, you know, worldview is kind of a specialized topic. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of churches will invite me to come and do a special training, because maybe the pastor is not equipped, you know, to give a full kind of understanding that I could do.
And I guess,
and that's why a lot of times churches will bring in an evangelist every once in a while. You know, so you've got auxiliary people that can help as well with that.
And where I was really going with the question from equipping to entertainers is, like, when you look at Christianity today, it's somewhat mainstream, popular, and you have so many different churches and all these types of things are going on. And from, you know, the singing and all, there's so much more going on versus the word actually being taught. It's like, I'm going to church on Sunday to be entertained rather than to be equipped, because after that, I don't pick up my Bible. I don't do this. So we spend more time trying to, I guess, appeal to the masses rather than equipping the masses.
Yeah, well, you know, but the thing is, and this is where I try to be really careful, because you're getting into issues of the heart. You're getting into the issues of motivations of not only the pastor, but of the individuals in the church. If a person comes to church because they want to be entertained, that's not a problem with the pastor and the work that the pastor's doing. That's a problem in the heart of the individual that's not willing to focus on the things that need to be focused on for his and her, or her life. On the other hand, there are pastors who, they want to draw a crowd, and they are interested in just entertaining. But I would certainly never generalize to say, okay, that's the way that everything is. There's a reason, you know. Music, for instance, in a worship service has a purpose. It's to help
almost
us,
definitely.
Yeah, it's to help us draw our hearts near to God and express our love and our praise to God. And so as we do it, we can do it as a form of entertainment, or we can do it as an act of actual worship. And it's that, you know, that's a matter of the heart. And so,
and being that it's matters of the heart, and we have so many pastors and so many churches, and there were 12 disciples and they turned the world upside down. And when we have more, why isn't the effects of Christianity at least more prevalent now with millions than when it was with 12?
Well, you know, I guess if I knew the answer to that, I could be...
Because we're talking matters of the heart. And so what I'm looking at is, are people really being equipped to go out and actually do what we've been called to do?
Well, you know, I think... probably, you know, when you get to that kind of situation, we have what has always existed. You know, there's a core of people who are really committed in their faith, and then you've got others that, you know, are that love God, but they're not really that committed, and then you've got probably the large majority that just kind of rock along, you know. But there's always been maybe what we could call the remnant, you know, that are the truly faithful. But you know, that's one of the things that that church leaders, you know, pastors in particular, and other church leaders, that's one of the real challenges that we face is, first of all, making sure that we ourselves are focused rightly, and that our motivations are right, and then being able to keep the main thing, and motivate people to be focused on that main thing.
That main thing, and that's truly the challenge. You're listening to Pastoral Insights. I'm your host, Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ. My guest today, Dr. Freddie Davis, and we're talking about worldviews. Making that transition now, what is worldview and what are the worldviews that exist today?
All righty. Well, there's different ways that different people have tried to define worldview and tried to understand worldview. The particular approach, basic approach that I use was I found in the work of James Sire, and he was just a brilliant genius academic, you know. In fact, when I read his book originally, it's called The Universe Next Door, it was like I had to read it a bunch of times, and I had to go through it like word by word because it's so deep and so heavy. And I thought, well, you know, this is what you would use in a Bible school course, a seminary course, where you had somebody that was a philosopher teaching you, you know. But I thought, you know, this is the kind of thing that everyday Christians need to get, to understand, to be able to effectively minister out in the world in our society, in our pluralistic society. But I borrowed his approach, which uses he's divided all of the ways of thinking into four basic worldview categories.
And they are.
And the first one is theism, which is the belief that there is a transcendent God that exists. The second one is naturalism, which is the belief that there is no such thing as a supernatural reality. The natural universe is all that exists. The third one is animism, which is the belief that there are spirits that are in nature. It's basically the idea that reality is divided into two parts. There's a spirit part and a physical part, and those two parts are symbiotically connected. What happens in one affects what happens in the other side, and vice versa.
You are listening to BashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.
Do you want to get more exposure for your product or business? Do you want to get your message to the right people? Then join us on BashaniRadio.com. We've got everything covered, from business and money to relationships and politics. Log on to BashaniRadio.com to advertise today.
Hello, I'm Beverly Howard, speaker coach, life coach, and a host of the Beverly Howard Radio Show. Promise me you will join me and my guests every Tuesday at BashaniRadio.com, where we will be discussing relationships, health and wellness, fitness, business and finance, spirituality, faith, and so much more. Now, I really don't want to be there all alone, so promise me you will be there with me every Tuesday at BashaniRadio.com.
You are listening to BashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.
And so there's spirits in the, you know, out in the world, in the trees, in the grass, and you have to kind of help the spirits and they help you, kind of thing. And then the fourth one is what I call Far Eastern thought. And it's basically, you know, pantheistic, monistic. It's the belief that God is everything and everything is God, kind of idea. So in theism, you have a number of you have these four worldview categories, and every single religion, cult, and philosophy that exists in the world are an expression of one of these four.
One of those four. So everything is, so what I'm hearing is that each of these four categories have subdivisions.
Exactly. Each of the four worldview categories then has a whole bunch of religions or philosophies or cults that are based on those worldviews. For instance, in theism, obviously Christianity is theistic, but you also have like Islam and Judaism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses. All of those are theistic. They believe that there is a transcendent God that exists. In naturalism, you have such, you know, beliefs as secular humanism, Marxism, existentialism. There's, you know, there's a number of different postmodernism, different belief systems that are all based on this naturalistic worldview foundation. And then in animism, you have, you know, such things as like the Native American religions, European paganism, Japanese Shinto. There's just a whole bunch of different animistic religions that are found in different places, in different different expressions. And then you have the Far Eastern thought, which are things like Hinduism and Buddhism, Jainism, and the beliefs that in reincarnation and karma and those kinds of things. So every belief system in existence somehow comes out of those four. Now, there is another category that I call hybrids. And basically what the hybrids are is they try to take beliefs from more than one, you know, of the worldview categories and combine them together. There's only one problem with hybrids, and that is is based on one of the fundamental understandings of this idea of worldview in the first place, and that is that every worldview is absolutely and totally exclusive.
They can't all be right.
Every worldview literally contradicts every other worldview. So when you take, you know, a belief from one and another, one from another, you're building in some kind of a contradiction. And the kind of contradictions that we're talking about, for instance, God cannot exist and not exist at the same time. He can't exist and not exist at the same time. Obviously.
Correct.
And if he does exist, he can't be personal and impersonal at the same time. Those are the types of contradictions that exist between the different worldview categories. And so what you end up with then is what you just expressed, is that probably the large majority of people in the world live based on beliefs that are simply not true. Mm-hmm. Okay, so those are the categories. Let me give you a definition. Okay, a worldview, and this is sort of it'll seem kind of academic, but when I explain it, I think it'll be easy to understand.
Okay, break it down for us in layman terms.
Absolutely, that's what I do. A worldview is a set of assumptions that people have about the nature of reality. So I break that down into two parts. What is an assumption? First of all, an assumption is simply a set of beliefs, right? That's all it is. It's a belief that is it seems to an individual that is so right, it is so obvious, that it's hard to imagine that anybody could believe anything else. So this is the category of beliefs that we're talking about. It's a set of beliefs that people have that they just cannot imagine that somebody else would believe something different. And it's beliefs in a particular area. It's beliefs about reality, what is real and what is not real. So if I have a belief, a worldview belief, it is what I believe. For instance, I'll take my own personal belief that God exists, and that the God that exists is the God of the Bible. Well, to me, that is just such an obvious thing that everything that I do and everything that I think in life is based on that. I cannot imagine living life as if God does not exist. On the other hand, if you have a naturalist, an atheist, they do not believe God exists, and the assumptions that they have about reality is that the natural universe is all that exists.
So now the importance of worldviews and understanding them comes into play, because now you have to understand their reality in order to be able to effectively witness to them from where they are.
Exactly. And in fact, what happens is, let's just use the atheism or naturalism is the most prominent belief system in the U.S. conflict with our Christian theism. We'll use that as an example. When I have a conversation with an atheist, they understand the words that I'm saying because we're both speaking English.
Correct.
Okay, so it's not a problem with the English language, but the meanings that they assign to different words are different. For instance, when I say God, I'm thinking real person who exists that I have a personal relationship with. When an atheist hears the word God, what are they thinking?
Tell us, what are they thinking?
Fantasy.
Hmm.
Not real. And so this is the kind of bridge that we have to build. Not only do we have to speak in terms that they where they can understand the words that we're saying, but they have to be able to understand our concept of reality. Me sharing the gospel, for instance, with an atheist does not make sense to them, not because they don't understand the story that I'm telling them about the gospel. It doesn't make sense to them because they're thinking, how in the world could somebody believe in this kind of fantasy?
Hmm.
And that's the bridges that we have to build. That is what worldview, the value that worldview has when it comes to like for witness, is to be able to communicate in that way.
So basically, how long would it take to really get a grasp on the different worldviews and the subdivisions to be able to effectively witness to various groups of people?
Well, there's not probably a single simple answer to that. Obviously, I've been studying this and I'm still studying this, but I've been studying it for years. And the more I study, the more effective I get, in my own understanding. I mean, I still come every once in a while, I have these aha moments. Ah, okay, that's the way that can apply, or that's the way that I can express this more effectively. But it also depends on what your purpose in studying it is at any particular moment, because I mentioned the four different areas.
Okay, theism, well, naturalism,
animus. The four different areas for why studying worldview is important.
Going back to, being able to witness, living out your worldview.
Right, and understanding our own faith.
Mm-hmm.
A person can get, just the basic understanding in a relatively short period of time. I mean, you can read my book, Worldview Wars, and it lays out, the basics of everything. But then if you want to get into like the implications of our own faith, mm-hmm. so that we understand, because when we share the gospel message, what is it exactly that we are sharing? We're sharing the Christian worldview.
Correct.
But how do you divide that up in, or how do you put that into a packet, so to speak, where you're dealing with the essentials that apply specifically to the gospel message? It might seem here for a second that I'm going to chase a rabbit, but I'm really not. Okay,
Go ahead.
I'm giving an illustration. The fact is, there are many, many different Christian denominations.
Correct.
and the reason there are so many different denominations is because there are different ways that people interpret certain things in the Bible. And so you know, you'll have Baptists that kind of go down one track, and then you'll have Pentecostals that'll go down another track, and Methodists that'll go down another track, and Presbyterians that'll go down another track. Yet, we all say that we believe the gospel. So where is the line between what is essential and then these other things that create separation? Because my own firm belief is that the unity that we have as Christians is because of the essential core that we all believe. Mm-hmm. And the things that cause us to have these different denominations and move in kind of different directions.
Styles in government.
are what I call non-essentials. And some of the non-essentials really are styles and polity like that. But actually, some of the things are actual theological differences. But those theological differences are what I call non-essential theology.
They have no bearing upon salvation.
Exactly. Not non-essential in that they're not important, but non-essential in that they are not what causes us to be Christians in the first place. And so there's three things that are what I call the essential core of the Christian faith. What the Bible, and it's all based on what the Bible teaches, because the Bible is our core authority. So the first one is what the Bible teaches about who is God.
The theology. Theology.
Yeah, yeah. The second one is what the Bible teaches about what is a human being. And the third one is what the Bible teaches about salvation. Okay? Now, those three categories are actually how we can define the core of a Christian worldview. Those same three categories are also how we can define the core beliefs not only of the other worldviews, but also of any belief system in existence. If you want to know what the core is of any belief, find out what it believes about God, man, and salvation.
Wow. And breaking that down, you know, we believe that there's a God who loved us because he created man, you know, and therefore man had a fall, and therefore he needed a savior. And that's why we have the whole concept of salvation, dealing with what we would call soteriology and anthropology, the study of man, and theology, the study of God. So most other religions don't truly believe that there's a need for a savior.
Well, no, but every other belief system does have some belief about God, man, and salvation. And it is that defines the worldview. And so when we want to define our Christian worldview, mm-hmm. okay, what does the Bible, our authority, teach about who is God? You know, God is the creator and sustainer. He is a Trinity. He is, you know, righteous, just, and love. And, I mean, we could go
on,
there, I mean,
on and on.
On and on and on. But that's kind of the core about what the Bible teaches about who is God. What is man? Man is a person created in the image of God but fallen. And what is salvation? Salvation is simply what the Bible teaches about how to fix the fallenness.
Yeah, reconcile them back to God.
Okay. And so that is the core of a Christian worldview. Now, to the degree that a Christian understands that, they understand the Christian worldview. Now, if we can take those same principles, you know, those same three categories. If I want to understand a Muslim, then what do I need to understand? I need to find out what they believe about God, man, and salvation. If I know what I believe about that, and then I know what they believe that about that, not only do I have an understanding of who they are, I understand how they are different from us. And that shows me the areas or the places that I need to bridge.
And that's the importance of understanding worldviews.
Exactly. And the same thing is true. I've given examples here of two different theistic belief systems, but it's the same that's true with naturalism. What do naturalists believe about God, man, and salvation? Well, they believe that God does not exist. They believe that man is nothing more than a naturally evolved animal, and that salvation, in naturalistic terms, is nothing more than living the most abundant life that a person can have, you know, go for the gusto kind of thing, because that's all there is. And so, you know, I can compare, okay, here's what I believe as a Christian, here's what they believe, and I can see what the differences are, and I can see immediately then what bridges need to be crossed in order to be able to effectively, you know, share the gospel with them.
Wow. So this is very, very critical to being able to be an effective witness.
Exactly. And it's particularly critical in our modern society because, you know, as we were talking about earlier, when I was growing up, America was pretty homogenous.
Correct.
Now we are so pluralistic, it's not even funny. And so, you know, if it used to be, you know, when I was growing up, I learned to use the four spiritual laws to share the gospel. And what does it start out? God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And you could go up to almost anybody and share that. And even if they weren't a Christian, they understood what you were talking about.
But now there's like, who is the God?
Is there a God? Or which God are you talking about?
So it's challenging. And so, wow, this is very important. Dr. Davis, for my listening audience and those out there who say, wow, I really need to get a grasp on this, for that pastor or that ministry leader that's listening and says, wow, I never really thought about this in these terms before. If they can't take your course, how can they get a copy of your book, Worldview Wars, to help them to better understand all of the worldviews that exist?
Well, probably one of the best resources would be our website, the www.marketfaith.org. And let me just share a number of things that are on the website, because obviously you know, our books are there, but there are other resources that are there too that are free.
Okay.
I mean, there's tons of articles. In fact, I and my ministry partner alternate every week writing an article about some aspect of worldview, and then all those articles get archived on the website. So there's tons of articles on all of these different topics that we've been talking about. There's also dialogue. I mentioned some of the dialogues I've had with people. Many of those are actually on the website. There's some videos that are on the website that sort of give a basic understanding of worldview. So there's a lot of resources that are on the website. There's also a worldview survey that is on the website that if you want to, you know, take it yourself or give it to some people, a group of people, and it helps people to see what their beliefs are, because it's not unusual at all for people to incorporate non-Christian beliefs into their life, even Christians. And so there's that survey. But then there's also a section, and all of our books are also on the website in the bookstore section.
I like the back cover. It says, with regard to your book, the purpose of this book is to provide knowledge about worldview that will allow you to fight in the trenches and win the worldview wars. In these pages, you will learn how non-believers understand reality and how you can express your faith in a way that makes sense to them. Going to give you last word here for that pastor, ministry leader, layman, individual that's listening. What would you say to them about worldview and why they should understand it?
Probably one of the things that I get a lot is that, well, you know, you don't have to understand all about worldview in order to share the gospel. And I want to emphasize that is absolutely true, particularly when you're talking to people who already at least maybe they grew up in a Christian home and they understand theistic concepts or biblical concepts, we can be very effective without understanding, you know, the worldview concepts, you know, for those people. However, we live in a world that is very, very pluralistic. And it causes a couple of things. One, because we ourselves are inundated with particularly naturalistic beliefs, it's very easy to become to have doubts about, you know, is my faith really the truth? We see a particular problem among young people who grow up maybe in a Christian home, but they're raised in an educational environment that is naturalistic, and they get in high school or they get in college and they leave the faith because they don't understand how to evaluate naturalism as a faith system. They think that's science, and what I believe is faith, and science makes more sense. And it's not true, but that's the ideas that people have. And so the importance of worldview really has to do with our world that we live in is so pluralistic now, and there are so many non-Christian beliefs out there that have been normalized in society, that if we don't understand the concepts and how to compare those and how to evaluate for truth between the different beliefs, then it's going to be very, very difficult for people. And I would just say that this is a tool that can be very, very important for pastors, a very powerful tool to help them to become equippers of their people in a world that is very difficult for Christians to live in these days.
Thank you so very much, Dr. Davis, for being a guest here on Pastoral Insights, sharing the whole concept of worldviews and how it is beneficial. Love to have you back at some time in the future to talk about some other things. Thank you so very much for being a wonderful guest.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and I look forward to the opportunity.
You've been listening to Pastoral Insights, and my guest today was Dr. Freddie Davis. For more information about his book, Worldview Wars, An Introduction to Worldview for Biblical Christians, and all the other things that he's doing, please go to marketfaith.org. That's marketfaith.org, and there you can find out more information and also reach out to Dr. Davis himself. Once again, thank you for listening to Pastoral Insights. I'm your host, Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ. Visit us on the internet at www.trueholinesscogic.org. That's trueholinesscogic.org. And more about me at vincenttedwards.com. Once again, thanks for listening to Pastoral Insights. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to another great episode of BashaniRadio.com. Make sure to like Bashani Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to us on YouTube. All of our social media connections are located on BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything.